Once again, we return in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19. We'll read verse 19 and 20. But Ezekiel chapter 11 and mainly verse 19. As we've said before, there are verses that will follow in the book of Ezekiel that speak of this wonderful change of heart, a wonderful change of life. The power from God to please Him, the power from God to walk with Him, the power from God that we may do these things that He tells us to do, like to walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, to pray without ceasing, to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Now these things are not often practiced, but they are available to us who are born again. Those of us who have been washed in the blood of the Son of God have been given the sweet gift of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, or God the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us forever and ever, who lives in us, who are born again, are born from above, born of God right now. We have this gift of the sweet person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so that day fully came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and when He went into the upper room, spoke to His disciples and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit," and He breathed on them. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, of course, is different than the filling of the Holy Spirit. I know people would want to argue, but it's so easily proved the otherwise, that what happened on the day of Pentecost wasn't that the disciples received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That happens instantly. The moment you believe, the sweet Holy Spirit of God enters you once for all forever. This happened, what happened at Pentecost was the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them to preach the gospel with boldness and to see God work in mighty ways. So as we look here at Ezekiel 11:19, these promises that would come with the new life, the new covenant, the new relationship with God that He would give. Notice how it is the act of God. Once again, Ezekiel 11, verse 19, God says, "Then I will give them one heart." And this is speaking of oneness of heart. That it's when our heart is united, when we can say with Paul, "This one thing I do," or "This one person I follow," or "This one book I put above all other information," speaking of the Bible. "Then I will give them one heart," or oneness of heart, "and I will," notice it's God doing this, "I will put a new spirit within them." That's what we want to speak about this morning. "I will put a new spirit within them." And then another blessing is God says, "and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Those are two different words for flesh. And when God says, "take the stony heart out of their flesh," He's talking about our carnal nature, how our will is against His, our heart is cold as stone towards Him. It's cold as stone towards His Word. That nature that doesn't like to pray, that doesn't like to worship God, that is averse to praising Him and seeking His glory. He would take that out and give us a heart that is sensitive to them, sensitive to Him. He'll take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. It's talking about that sensitive part of the flesh, the tender part of our hearts, the sensitive part of our heart, I should say, instead of our flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive to the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I call my sheep by name, and a stranger they will not follow, for they know not His voice." But Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and follow me. They hear me, they follow me." And so it says that they may walk in my statutes, verse 20, and keep my judgments. Notice this is the work of God. Him giving us one heart, Him giving us a new spirit, Him taking the stony heart out of our nature and giving us a heart that is sensitive to the Scriptures, that is sensitive to pleasing the Holy Spirit, to not grieving Him, that is sensitive to let the Lord know that we truly love Him. And so, that they may walk in my statutes. Notice this is the only way it can happen, with a oneness of heart, a new spirit, and a sensitive heart to the things of God. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgment and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. What a blessing it is to have these things from God for us, that we might serve Him, that we might please Him, that we might walk with Him. But notice that it is the work of God nonetheless, for all our own righteousness is as filthy rags, and in our flesh dwells no good thing. And so last week we looked at the promise and the blessing of one-heartedness, and today we want to look at the Lord's promise of a new spirit. So first of all, we would ask, what is this new spirit? Well, it is not a new soul. Remember, when God made man and woman, He breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It is an eternal part of us. It is the real you inside. That part of you that in the wee hours of the morning, you believe in God. You believe you must face God one day. But the soul has been corrupted by sin. And so the soul has been called the seat of our emotions, the seat or the throne of the will, or however people want to describe it. If you ask Christians, you know, what are the three basic parts of man? They would come, and 90% of them would say, well, man is body, soul, and spirit. And that would be correct, but it's interesting how Paul, in his writing in the New Testament, he didn't say body, soul, and spirit. He said, I pray your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And so he begins with the spirit. And this ruling, or this blessing of a new spirit spoken of here, is if we put Jesus first, if it is the part of us that helps to put Jesus first. It is the Spirit of God. It is the very nature of God. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the gift of His Holy Spirit that came into you instantly when you believed on Christ and changed you and regenerated you. And it has its effects. The Spirit has its effects in changing, transforming, and ruling over the soul. And then that goes on from there as the soul is being transformed, as the soul is being changed, as the will of this new nature, which is Christ in us, which is Holy Spirit in us, as this part is given to us by God, as this person, the Holy Spirit, is given to us by God, He begins to try to clean house. He begins to transform the soul. He begins working to transform the will, and to set that will aright, to set our affections aright, to set our hearts aright, to set our minds aright. You know, we receive so much false worldview from the world, you know. Even the advertising companies, you deserve a break today, you know. No, what you deserve is hell today. What we need is Jesus. And so the world will try to sell us its philosophies, and education system will try to sell us false philosophies. And of course the fake news will just give us fake news. But the thing is that as we grow in the Spirit, as our spirit grows, we learn that Only God's word can be trusted. If the things that men say agree with God's word, amen, hallelujah. But if God's word says something opposite, we must follow God's word. And so, as we look at this truth, what is this new spirit? And as we said, it is not a new soul. The same soul you were born with is now in you, but now it is being renewed. It is being being transformed in a restored will. It's being given heavenly affections, a desire to pray, a desire to worship God, a desire to sing to Him, a desire to tell others about Him, a desire to know more about Him and to know more about His Word. And it comes and enlightens the conscience, which is part of the soul. A lot of people, even Paul himself, was in all good conscience when he was killing Christians. But when he was born again, when Jesus reached him on the road of Damascus and arrested him, Paul was given the gift of faith in Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it transformed and enlightened his conscience. And so the New Testament calls us a new man. We have a new nature. We are a new creation created in Christ Jesus. And so this new spirit is that which the natural man doesn't have. Only a born-again Christian, only a born-again boy, girl, man, woman, teenager can have new nature, which is the Holy Spirit, to repair and restore us. And so he possesses this power within us to transform our wills. Our will was like a pilot's compass on the old ships, which always pointed northward. But one day, when sin came into the world, lightning struck this will, and it struck the soul. And so it ruined it to where it pointed everywhere but north. And so our natures have been ruined by sin to where they point in every other direction except the glory of God, except the worship of Christ. And so we need to be given a new spirit. And this happens when Jesus saves us, when we're born again. And so the new spirit comes and he transforms our will. This new spirit that comes within us changes our affections. For instance, when we were in our old nature, we might have thought that cathedrals were beautiful and statues and art of Christianity were the beautiful things. And many times they are. Many times they cause us to see the awe and beauty of like the Sistine Chapel and the works of Michelangelo. But the new spirit and his changed affections that he brings within us, that he works within us, it sees the beauty of not merely outward things. It sees the beauty of holiness. It sees how beautiful Christ is in all his purity. Its affections see, I want to be like Jesus. See how beautiful he is. See, I want to speak like Jesus. I want to see through the eyes of Christ. I want my hands to move at his direction, will. I want to do what Jesus would do if he was in my shoes today. And so these changed affections, these new affections, they come only from God. As we said, it is the work of God. And when we see the beauty of holiness, the beauty of Jesus' holiness, as we begin to have these ever-growing desires and affections for Jesus, that's the work of God. What a blessing it is to have this promise to us. What a blessing it is that God would not merely command us to obey Him, but would come and live within us and come and change us, put His Spirit within us, and give this new Spirit to us, and change our desires and affections from the things of the world to a greater desires and affections for the things of Jesus. Like David, when he prayed, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire but you. None that I desire but you. In other words, he's at this part when by the transforming power and work of this, of the Holy Spirit within us, the new spirit, the new nature, the new man, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth I desire but you. Of course, we can have other desires. We can love our mother and father and children and husband and wife and so on. But remember, Jesus said that unless we love him more, we cannot be his disciples. And so he's saying, I love you so much, Lord, that there is none upon earth that I desire but you, or that I desire like I desire you. Or longings for the security and the comfort and the assurances that only God can give replace the longings of the old nature for false security, comfort that doesn't truly comfort, and no assurances at all. And so, what is this new spirit? Well, he is the person of Christ in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, who transforms our will. In that doing so, he changes our affections. He gives us new eyes, a new heart. New spirit brings a spiritual conscience. You see, people can feel bad about stealing something from the store or by saying something mean to somebody else. That's natural, as it were. But a spiritual conscience, it awakens the conscience to a higher righteousness, a more sincere walk with God, and a peace of mind when Christ is worshipped. When Christ is worshipped, when we're in submission to Jesus, then our spiritual conscience has peace. You know, sometimes people have an argument, they feel bad in their conscience till they say they're sorry and they make up. And those things are good, but a spiritual conscience comes and says, oh yes, this is good because it pleases God. This is good because not that it makes you feel better, but that it is pleasing to your Savior to see you walk in love. Okay, so now, it is called the Spirit, this new Spirit. What is it? Well, it is called the Spirit, or a new Spirit, because it is born of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, and that's capitalized, Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, and that which is born of the Holy Spirit is spiritual. And that's why the lost cannot please God. That's why the lost person is at enmity with God. That is why the person who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ cannot know God. They might know about God, but they cannot know God. They cannot walk with God. They cannot please God. And this because this new spirit is born of the Holy Spirit, is essence of his essence, and because it is born of him, it takes on his likeness. It looks like him. And he makes us hungry for spiritual things much more than carnal things. It is called new because it makes us new. It transforms us. It is ever working. It is lively and fresh, like his mercies are new every morning. So is his work in our spirit. It's always active. He always wants to grow within us. As the devil is so active, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, so the Spirit is always working within his children to cause us to desire to pray, to cause us to want to know what it is that pleases the Lord, how to please him according to his word, how to worship him in spirit and in truth, how to use our words in a way that encourages and inspires and assures and exhorts one another. Any person can tear down another person. That takes no talent at all. All that takes is a devilish nature, a nature that is set on fire of hell. But to build up other believers, to assure other believers, to inspire other believers, to give them a greater sense of God's love, to let them understand the goodness and greatness of God even better, why, that comes through this spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit within us, the Lord Jesus Christ within us, teaching us to want to grow and to help others grow. And so, what is the new spirit? Well, we've talked about that now. Let's move on. This new spirit is given all at once, and yet it grows by degrees. And so this new spirit comes within us all at once, and yet continues to grow and grow by degrees. So when the moment you were saved, you were just as saved and sealed for heaven at that moment than you've ever been. You were saved. You were born again. You were washed in the blood. You were given the gift of the Holy Spirit the very moment that God redeemed you to Himself. You became just as saved as you'll ever be. It's like a person saying, I'm more saved now that I know that have been going to church all these years. No. You were saved then at the beginning just as much as you'll ever be. That's the work of God. And so this new spirit is given to us all at once, in an instant, immediately, when we receive the God-given gift of faith and we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It's all at once. It's instantaneous, this great work. And yet His work continues to grow in us by degree after degree. As the Bible says, we grow from faith to faith. In the Psalms, we go on from strength to strength. And in the New Testament, we grow from grace to grace. It grows within us, this great work. And so, it's like a peach seed. You know, it's just a medium-sized kind of seed, and yet it contains the root and all the qualities of the full-grown peach tree within itself. In fact, if we lost all the peach trees in the world and yet found one seed, we could repopulate the earth with peaches as much as we wanted to. This one peach seed, it contains all the root, the qualities, the bark, the leaves, as it were, of a full-grown peach tree within itself. And this seed is this power, this transforming power to go from a lowly seed into a beautiful, fruitful, sweet, giving tree. And so this new nature within us, this the Lord Jesus within us, the Spirit of the Lord within us, as He begins to do His work, it's making us stronger, it's making us grow more towards heaven, and it's making us sweeter and a blessing to others. And this growth eventually comes to reveal its strength and its sweet fruitfulness in us. And nothing like keeping your eyes on Jesus to keep you sweet. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 and chapter 4 and verse 16 speak of this growth, speak of this transformation, speak of this metamorphosis. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, and that's a picture of the Scriptures, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. This new spirit that comes from God, that now can practice agape love and can practice living faith. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, the new man, is being renewed day by day. And so this new spirit, though he comes into us all at once at the beginning of our salvation, continues to grow by degrees, which continues to transform us, continues to work his great work in us. He renews the image of God in us that was lost to sin. And as we read in the New Testament, Paul exhorting us, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, that is God, who created him. So who created this new man within us? It is according to the image of him who created him. The image of God who created the new man. And so this is the great work of God himself within us. And so Paul says, put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And this new nature, though given all at once, continues to grow and grow by degrees. It seeks to grow in its trust in the promises of God. It seeks to grow in its faith in the power of God, the goodness of God, the what God wants, faith in his promises and his word. It grows in assurance of heaven and that God is real and that we will see him one day. It seeks to grow in wisdom and courage. Like the Bible says, the path of the just or the path of the born again is like the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. It grows and grows. It's like the leaven hidden in the flour that begins to saturate the whole container. And it does not always seem like we're growing to us. Yet God has promised growth. When we were younger and while we were still growing, we didn't see the change. And others would tell us, oh, how big Philip is growing, or oh, how big Alan is getting. I remember when you were knee-high to a bullfrog. Look at you grow, boy. You're growing like a weed. And we didn't notice it. But, of course, God notices it, and others may notice it as when we are growing in grace. And so, it does not always seem like we're growing, yet our Heavenly Father has promised growth. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Notice, he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Romans 8:28, we like to quote the first part of that verse, but it goes on to say, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And it goes on to say these other things says that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. God has began this work. God justified us, sanctified us. He's glorified us already in that passage. And then he's as looking as though, you know, his full plan since he put into action is already in fruition. But then he says that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. And so that's his work, to make us more and more like Jesus. And this new nature, this new spirit, this new creation, which is Christ in us by the power of his Holy Spirit, it's at work always. It wants us to grow. It causes us to see everything with new eyes. As the psalmist said, in his light we see light. And so this, once it's truly happened with us, it's a work that continues to go on. This new spirit has its growing pains, and it grows in a harsh environment. You know, as we are believers, we could, as new believers, we could hear, before our new birth, we could hear the name of God taken in vain, and it wouldn't bother us. But now we live in a world where Christ, his precious name, is abused and misused and uses cuss words. This is the name that is that is the saving name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This name is to be honored above all names. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet we hear him blasphemed every day in this world. And so these are growing pains. We have to endure living in this world and fighting against our old sinful nature, fighting against the world's philosophy and worldly ways and worldly lusts, and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. This new nature within us, the sweet person and work of the Holy Spirit, will always be at war and always be fighting with the old sinful nature. It's like the sapling in the woods, like in Oregon, a sapling that takes its root and the frosts come in the wintertime, and the strong winds of adversity threaten to uproot it. The heat of temptations in the summertime would try to scorch it. The biting insects of sin try to eat it up, but it grows into a strong tree. And we are to be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. Now we must hurry on. The new spirit is the work of God in you. We've been saying this again and again. It is the work of God in you. You may as well create a new heavens and a new earth as to make yourself a new spirit or a new heart and a new soul. And people that have tried the reformation of a life through the deeds of the flesh or the austerities of religion or the power of their mind or the power of positive thinking. And Jesus talked about that person, that they may turn over a new leaf, that they may reform, but that sooner or later that old devil comes back looking at his old house and sees that it's empty. There is no strong man within. There is no Savior within. There is no powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords within. So he comes back and he ventures to trap this man in false religion, and does so very easily, or brings him back to his old sinful wicked life, more worse than ever. The Lord is preparing you for heaven. And though sometimes it feels like he's kicking out all your earthly supports, he's only preparing you for heaven. You know, many times he brings us to places with either our health or with our loved ones or with our work and misunderstandings and troubles in this world. And when he does, we're thinking, Lord, who have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire but you. And we start to sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And as Jesus said, he's come to prepare a house for us. And we long for that house. We long for that mansion. And so the new spirit is the work of God in you. He's preparing you for heaven. And sometimes it doesn't feel like you're going to make it. But it's his work. The Lord is making all things work together to make you more beautiful, more delightful to himself. In Ephesians 5:26, it says that he, that is the Lord Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her, that is the bride, his church, of which you're part of if you're born again, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so this new spirit, it's the work of God in you. It's him giving you his spirit. It's him regenerating you by his spirit. It is Christ in you by his spirit. It is all these wonderful things that the Holy Spirit brings. Like we said, He comes into our home and he finds it disheveled and dirty. And he begins to transform the will, renew the conscience, build these parts of the will that were broken and set them heavenward. To take the parts of our affections that were corrupt and to set them on Jesus. And so, what a gift. Are you growing more faithful and constant? You know, the secret of your happiness is in your spirit and its relationship with God. It's your heart's relationship with Jesus. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, He will keep you excited about the Bible, excited about God, excited about truths that we can learn from His Word. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, He'll keep you excited and He'll keep you sweet. And then, are you more cheerful? Are you more thankful and excited about the things of the Lord? If not, why not? Why aren't you more cheerful, thankful, and excited about the things of the Lord? Oh, it's so wonderful, sweet. Jesus gets sweeter every day. His Word gets sweeter every day. Our sweet hour of prayer gets sweeter every day. It can't be otherwise because His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. He's such a wonderful God, and to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to want to know Him better, and to know Him better is to love Him better. And it just continues to grow, this wonderful relationship. The answer is found in your new spirit, into God working in you. Get into the sunshine of His love. Get into the warmth of His smile. Get into the assurance of your salvation, and that what He's done for you is done for you forever. That He loves you just as much now as He did when He sent His only begotten Son. That He loves you just as much now as when He was dying on the cross for your sins and cried, "Father, forgive them." Yeah, He loves you just as much, and nothing could ever change His love. His love is already infinite and perfect, and nothing can add to it, nothing can take away from it. He didn't love you because you were good. He didn't love you because you did things that were pleasing to Him or you were His favorite child. No, you were His enemy. God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you just as much now as He did in His sovereign will and pleasure before the foundation of the world. Nothing you can do or say can make Him love you any less. For His love is like Him. It is eternal. His love is like Him. It is measureless. His love is like Him. It is perfect already. Give yourself over to God anew. Give your heart over to the Lord Jesus anew. You know, some people think a recommitment of your life to Christ is something that happens every once in a while. That should happen every day, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we present our hearts a gift to Him every day. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you'll be transformed more and more into the image of Him who created you, a new man, a new creation. Amen. Father, we pray that You will bless this lesson to our hearts, and we thank You that it is Your work to give us one heart, that is oneness of heart. It is Your blessing that You gave us the new spirit, which is Yourself. As Corinthians tells us, You said, "I will walk in them, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God." Lord, we thank You that You live within us, that Christ is in our heart, and the sweet presence and power of the Holy Spirit, His sweet person, has been promised to us forever. And we thank You that this is Your work, because we could never do it. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much. In Jesus' name,
Amen.